said, "Falls," he says, "I know you took that money." And I was angry when he said that. And I said to him, "What makes you think that I took the money?" And here's what I'll never forget. He said, "Falls, because I know you and you're a worthless human being." And what's interesting was when he said that, I couldn't say anything because that's how I felt. I felt like I was a worthless human being.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear more from Emerson Falls, a Sac and Fox from Oklahoma. We pick up where he left off, sharing about what life was like when he turned away from God.
For a few years, I was very bitter towards non-Indian people and very angry and upset. But, you know, those were not the happiest years of my life, as I recall. And one of the things I've learned about bitterness and hatred is that it's more self-destructive than it is anything else. I didn't hurt anybody, but it was more self-destructive in my own life. So after turning away from Christianity and going out into the world and doing worldly things, I went into the army and was very rebellious. And I can remember getting in trouble. I had gotten in trouble several times for coming in late and things like that. And so one time in our unit, there was some money that was stolen out of another guy's locker. And I got called into the CO's office, the commanding officer's office. And I'll never forget what he said to me that day. What he said to me was this. He said, "Falls," he says, "I know you took that money." And I was angry when he said that. And I said to him, "What makes you think that I took the money?" And here's what I'll never forget. He said, "Falls, because I know you and you're a worthless human being." And what's interesting was when he said that, I couldn't say anything because that's how I felt. I felt like I was a worthless human being because I knew that my life was a mess and I knew that I wasn't going anywhere. And I realized that if I continued on in the direction that I was headed, I would be dead. I would be in prison. You know, I don't know what would have happened, but it would not have been good. And so even though I hated that moment, it probably was a turning point for me because it helped me to realize, you know what? He's right. And I need to do something about it. And that was the beginning of my coming back to the Lord. I was grounded, for the weekend. And so I was in my barracks laying on my bunk, and it was a time of doing a lot of reflection. And as I was thinking, I realized that, you know, some of the happiest days of my life was when I was active in that little Native American church in Oklahoma that I grew up in. And some of the happiest people I've ever met were Christians. And I took inventory and realized that for these last two or three years, in trying to fit in, I really wasn't happy. So I made a decision. I got down on my knees that day beside my bunk in that barracks. I just told the Lord that I wanted to recommit my life to Him and follow Him. And that was a decision I made. And I can't say that I've lived the Christian life perfectly. I'm probably far from it, but I can say this. I have done my very best to follow the Lord since those days. And as a result of that, my life has been full. It has been fulfilling. It has been happy. I frequently tell people that I'm a rich man, and people automatically think of material things. In reality, I don't have a lot of material things, but I'm rich in the things that really matter. I have a great family, have great kids that, you know, when they were growing up, they did not get into alcohol. They did not get into drugs. And God has just blessed our life, and they're both doing well today. And I'm just so grateful that I made a decision years ago, first of all, to come to know the Lord as my Savior and to give my life to Him. And secondly, when I was rebellious and walking away, the second decision to recommit my life and to follow Him. And because of that, not only do I have a lot of joy, but I've discovered that my life's purpose is to encourage others to find what I found in Jesus Christ. People ask me when I speak at different places. One of the things they ask me is, You know, what are some of the greatest needs that you see among Native Americans? And I guess they think I would mention things like money and programs and various things, but sometimes they're surprised when I say the greatest need is hope. I've discovered that if a person has hope, it changes the way that he lives today, and it makes him a better person. And I think if anything else, we need hope, and where I found my hope is in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And as I've seen others come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord, I've seen their lives change. I've seen their lives change for the better. And I guess my purpose in life, my heart's desire, is to see more and more of our people come to find the hope that I found in Jesus Christ. You know, I recognize that a lot of injustices have been done to Native people, and I'll even recognize the fact that a lot of it has been done by people who were Christians. And I understand the historical thing, but I've come to understand that there is a difference between what people do and what God has done, and I've learned to make that separation. And I understand that what God has done, He's reached out to all people. You know, I used to think, at one point in my life, I used to think that these people have their God, and these people have this God, and we have this God. And I begin to realize that, I guess almost by definition, if there is a God, if there is an Almighty, then He has to be the God of all people. He has to be the God of all creation. And so I stopped thinking in terms of, you know, white man's religion or Native religion or what. And I just begin to think in terms of wanting to have a relationship with our Creator. And as a result of that, those terms really have no meaning for me, because I believe that God loves all people and desires a relationship with all people. And anyone who will accept His gift of salvation, regardless of nationality or whatever, anyone who will come and accept His gift of Jesus Christ is my brother and is my sister. And that's why I rejoice in seeing, not just in my country, but all around the world, having brothers and sisters and people who have become one because we have all become a part of God's great family. One of the things that I try to get across is the fact that, first of all, you have to understand that when Jesus came and died upon the cross, that He died for our sins, because the Bible teaches that our sins are what separates us from the Father. And so what Jesus did was that He took our place. And I use a real simple illustration about, you know, suppose I was in traffic court. And, you know, I'd been guilty of speeding, and the judge says it's $100 or 100 days in jail. And I didn't have $100. And so I'm looking at the judge and say, I guess I'll have to take the punishment. I'll have to take the 100 days in jail. And then suppose somebody else in the courtroom stands up and says, Judge, I will pay his $100. And, you know, I turn around and this person says, Emerson, I'll pay your $100. Well, at that moment, I have a decision, you know. Am I going to accept this gift that this person, because it's a gift. It's not anything that I've earned. It's a gift. And if I do, then I walk out of the courtroom free that day. And if I don't, then I go to jail for 100 days. Now, that's kind of a simple illustration, but that's kind of the decision that we make. Jesus said, I'll pay your punishment for you. I'll go to the cross for you. And so now each of us have a decision. Do you want to accept what He has already done for you? Or do you want to reject God's plan of salvation? And so for me, faith is not some mystical thing. It's an understanding of what Jesus did when He died upon the cross. And it's the willingness to say, you know what? I accept that gift of salvation. And I think it's as simple as that. I don't know that we understand everything that we're going to understand when we do that. But I think we understand what Jesus did. And we understand that we want to have that gift in our life. The Bible teaches us that we have all sinned. I don't mean that we're necessarily robbers and murderers and that type of thing, but you know what? We've all, deep down inside, we know that we've all done things that are wrong. And the Bible teaches us that that sin is what keeps us from a relationship with God. And without going into a lot of detail, you go back to the story of the Garden of Eden, and it was sin that caused man to be separated from God, and it's sin that keeps us separated from him today. The problem is, what do we do about that? And I think so many times we think that in order to be in a right relationship with God, we have to do something good. And so a lot of people I know, for me, it was going to church and doing churchy things. For other people, I know it's doing ritual, it's doing sacrifice. Some even do self-sacrifice. I've heard of communities where they sacrifice their newborn babies in order to have a relationship with God. All of that to me is man's attempt to reach up to God, to try to somehow make him righteous. And then I begin to realize one day, it's not about us reaching up to God. God has done everything. God took the initiative to reach down to us because he knew that we were sinners. And so he offered his son, Jesus Christ, as a payment for our sins, as a sacrifice. And if we receive that payment for sins, then the Bible tells us that we have eternal life. And that's more than life after we die. Eternal life begins right now. It's an abundant life. It's a rich life. But you know, death doesn't end that. And so even when we die, the Bible tells us that we get to go home to the place that God created us to be. Earth is just a temporary place. We're just here for a little while. And if we trusted Jesus, then we go home. But the sad part of that story is the Bible also says, but to those who decline to accept this gift of salvation, those who reject Jesus Christ for whatever reason, the Bible says they spend eternity separated from God. And so I think the sad thing is for someone to really understand that someone stood up in court and said, I'll pay your $100 for you, metaphorically speaking, and to reject that and to have to go to jail. That's eternal separation from God. And, I don't know why anybody would want to do that. What makes hell so terrifying to me is not all these terrible pictures that people paint, but it's the fact that there is no presence of God. I believe it is a terrible place. And I believe it is, it's a place where people will hurt. People will suffer. But that's not the place that God intended for us. You see, as I understand the Bible tells us that because God hates sin, that hell was created as a way for him to punish evil and to punish Satan and to punish his cohorts. But unfortunately, those who choose to follow him in this life, the Bible says, will follow him throughout eternity. I think when you really understand the choices that we make, it seems to me that everyone will want to come to Jesus Christ.
Have you come to Jesus? If not, what's holding you back? Your Creator wants you to be with Him forever, but sin's penalty must be paid. Like Emerson said, God has offered to pay your sin debt for you so you could be free. That's why He sent Jesus. His death on the cross was the only way that justice could be satisfied. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why don't you come to him today? Interested in what you've heard? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.